I mean, he knows he's an always an on-time God.
Amen.
It's so wonderful that he said, I am the I am. Amen. So wonderful. Let's open our Bibles to Psalms chapter 133. Psalms chapter 133. We'll read three verses there, and then we'll go to St. John chapter 13. Psalms 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, because Aaron was the high priest, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. It's St. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. St. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, as we open your word tonight, we're asking, Lord, that you would just break the bread of life tonight for your children. Lord, we believe that we are at the evening time message, Lord, and I know that scripturally that's a time that you would come down and break bread and fellowship. And so, Lord, we're just asking that you would do that tonight. Lord, go to those that are absent tonight, Lord, and touch their bodies, touch their situations, Lord. We commit it all to your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just title this as you're seated. I just want to title this tonight one word. Fellowship. Yeah. Amen. Fellowship. We know from the message, but Brother Bosworth said to Brother Branham one time, said, do you know what fellowship is? And Brother Branham said, well, I think I do. And Brother Bosworth said, it's two fellows in one ship. Pretty simple, isn't it? Two fellows in one ship. And I think somebody later on said, paddling in the same direction. Well, of course, if you're in one ship, you're going in the same direction. You can't be going two different directions, right? Yeah. So I want to just talk about fellowship. I was listening to the sermon on the way to work yesterday morning, and Brother Branham had made some comments about fellowship, and it really just struck me. And then later on in the day, I was listening to a different sermon, and there was some more stuff came at me about fellowship and fellowshipping with God and one another. And so I thought, well, I know how it comes. The Lord, you know, he'll just bring stuff from every direction to you. And so that's why we're talking about it tonight, fellowship. And so, you know, somebody said something to me the other day that said, I'm going to push, play, and obey. And my response was, so am I. And then I'm going to come to church and tell everybody what I heard. And so that's, I heard those sermons yesterday morning, that one yesterday. I'm going to just speak on that just for a little bit. You know, no two people are the same, right? There's no two people on earth that are the same. God has a flower garden. I call it a flower garden, but I think that's the way Brother Graham said it. His people are different colors, different shapes, sizes, different natures and so forth. And so God has a flower garden. And so there's no two people that are the same. People like different things and want to go different places and things like that. And you've heard me say many times, it takes a lot of grace for any two people to dwell together for very long. You know, that really is holds true with husband and wife. That there has to be something. There's all kinds of forces trying to drive people apart, right? And so the thing that draws you together has to be stronger than the things trying to take you apart. And so we know that. And it's that way with husbands and wife and, you know, moms and dads and children and friends and brothers and sisters and you name it. It's just like that. We have to have something that's stronger than Satan trying to drive people apart. And so people, in order to fellowship, because we're different, we have to find common ground.
Right.
We have to find common ground, something that we're both interested in or can share with each other and doesn't get crossways with each other. And so, you know, some in the natural, maybe some men are interested in cars or woodworking and hunting and fishing, you know, and sisters, maybe they're interested in cooking and sewing and things like that. Or maybe sisters are interested in hunting and fishing and woodworking and cars. And so you can find things like that that you can get together, and usually that's what you do. Somebody that's real good friends with somebody, they have something that they share in common that they like to do together and talk about together. And so all those things are good, and I would say probably could even say necessary. It's, you know, to have things that, you know, in life that you enjoy. I think God wants us to enjoy our lives here, and as I've said before, to share.
Right.
You know, I've talked about how that when something's really funny, you laugh and you can't control it. It comes out loud for everybody to laugh with you, for them to hear it and enjoy it. Same way with crying.
Right.
You know, so God wants us to share with one another, and there's something great and wonderful that's taking place there that maybe people don't realize and maybe take for granted, and so I think those things are necessary, but for us as Christians, the main object of our fellowship is God, is the Word of God.
Right.
Right? That's the thing that we love more than anything else.
Yeah.
Is the Word of God, and we love to share it with one another. We love to meditate upon it, talk about it, you know, and the Scriptures, as I quote so many times, the Book of Remembrance written of those who speak often one another of the Lord. And so that's the main thing. And we know that God has called us to peace. He hasn't called us to war and to fight and to bicker and stuff like that. There's no peace in that kind of thing. This world is so full of drama.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. You know? And so, but some people seem to thrive in it. And I realize what it is, because they have a spirit in them that likes that or doesn't mind it. But you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't like that.
Right.
Holy Spirit does not like arguments and fussing and all those things. And God has called us to peace. And so if you got people who want to fellowship, they come together on, got to come together on some common ground or something that they can fellowship around. And so that means they can't really come together and just be fighting all the time, you know. They have to find something that's there. And of course, everybody has the ability to be selfish in some form or fashion. Hopefully, as Christians, we're getting better at not being selfish. But people can be selfish. And if you come together and, you know, say a couple of guys that want to come together to fish, and one of them's got is selfish and he wants to push his way. Well, that's not the way you tie that lure. Here's how the way you do it. And people have totally split up because of stupid little arguments about stuff that doesn't even matter.
Right.
And it's usually just because of somebody wanting to outdo somebody else or something like that. And so it causes fusses and things like that. And you know, we say quite often, you know, a life lived to itself is a wasted life. You know, the Lord wants us not to live to ourselves, like the prophet wanted to go off up into the wilderness area and just come out whenever the Lord would have him do something. And God said, well, if you do that, your wife's going to leave you. You'll become a bum, right? Because God gives gifts, and he puts things in us, and he wants us to touch lives. And if we pull ourselves aside and get away from everybody else, then we can't bless anyone else, right? The very purpose that God put us here for, as I mentioned in the funeral service the other day, that we're here for a purpose. So we're designed to be around one another.
Right.
That we could help one another, not fight with one another, not have bickering all the time, but to help one another. That's what we're here for, to be a help and to enjoy one another, to draw strength from one another. And so And that's what we do as Christians. We do that. And so as you live, are called to be around other people, and you know, then there's that flesh element that we all have that we're all going to have to deal with, right? You'll have to deal with it in me, and I'll have to deal with it in you, and what more? That flesh element is there, and so we all have the it's lays there in the flesh to be selfish, or to try and be overbearing, or say, well, you know, and see things my way, or it's a highway, or whatever. You know, you see people that's really, really bad like that, some worse than others. But what I want to say is that everyday interaction we have with each other is a test. It's to test us, right? And it's as I have said recently and many times, it's how you respond to what goes on. It tells what, and I'll say it this way differently, but it tells what maturity level you are
right.
in the Lord, is how you respond to things. I saw Brother Perryman one time, and I've mentioned that. I seen somebody standing at his face screaming and hollering, using every foul word you could think of, and he didn't respond any more than a dead man would have, because he was dead to those things, right? He had God in his heart, and those things couldn't bother him. And so anyway, it shows our level of surrender on how we handle things. And so because I know people probably don't like this part, but we're all headed to something.
Right.
And what we're all headed to is this right here. You probably could never guess what I'm fixing to say. We're all headed to, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Right.
And if we can't handle the rough edges of one another that comes up one once in a while, and look at one another through eyes of grace and mercy, if we can't do that to our brothers and sisters, how do we think we're going to do it to somebody who is purposely coming to harm us?
Right.
You see what I mean? So our interaction with each is just school. It's just a school. It's a training ground for us to learn, and so it's really good, because when somebody you love does you wrong, there's love there to pull you back together.
Right.
Take some stranger, it might be harder. God knows what he's doing to train us. And so no two people's the same. No two ministries are the same. No two pastors are the same. No two prophets are the same. Right? Didn't Brother Ram tell us this, that God doesn't have two prophets on the scene at a time? Right? All he needs is one. And if you had two men, they'd have different ideas about something. There's got to be something that's an ultimate, right? And so it has to be something. And so for us to come together and have fellowship and continue in fellowship, there has to be a central thing that becomes our absolute. Amen?
Yeah.
And so that's what the message tells us there also. And so as we interact with each other, we have to deal with that Jesus said that it's impossible but that offenses come. And I know he says, you know, said, but woe to them that offenses come, but you know, and so, but you know, by mistake, sometimes we offend. Don't mean to, but sometimes it happens. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just the devil that makes people think. Right? That's right. That's exactly what it is. You know, we say it all the time, and it's in the message. It's not your brother. It's not your sister. It's the devil.
Right.
Right? And we want to remember that. As I've read, and we've got it, could read it again, how Brother Bram said that when somebody's done you wrong, and you know they have, you just don't understand it, if you'll take that person to God in prayer, and you go and you get in the presence of the Lord, he said, I do not think a man can stand in the presence of God and condemn another man.
Right.
And I believe that. That when you come in and you are really right in the presence of God, and you know you are, you're not going to be condemning somebody else. You can't.
Right.
Right? And so the more we are get into his presence, the more grace we can show. It's not talking about being greasy grace or anything like that. We're just talking about the nature of Christ working through us.
Right.
And so it, as all this works, we are to be gaining the character and the forgiveness and the ability to handle these things that come our way. And so God's calling us to peace, calling us to be able to to overlook one another's faults and things like that. I mean, he believes that. He calls us to do that. And so, and overcoming is not, it's not just in person saying, oh, I love you and God bless you and all that, and then going home and burning in aggravation toward that person. Because if that's what's happening, we're not overcoming.
Right.
Right? So God wants us to be overcomers, and that way we overcome is the only way is the character and nature of Christ. And the further we go down the pathway toward rapture, the greater the requirement is, and the need for it is, and the greater level we're going to have in us to be able to handle what comes to us.
Right.
And God's got it. It's not, I'm not telling you that this is something we're going to muster up ourselves, but we just walk with Him and stay in His Word. That comes.
Right.
Amen? We believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we want to pass the test. As I said, a few weeks ago, maybe, that sometimes, and I have to pray for days, 2 or 3 days before I finally, you know, even Apostle Paul said something along this lines of, are they offended and I burn not, we burn not? And Paul saying, hey, I get offended too, and it aggravates me, and inside but that's what I'm saying. When things happen in your life, your boss rubs you the wrong way or whatever, when that happens, and it'll bother you for days or whatever, but what I was saying the other day is pray until something changes.
Right.
Until you know the character of Christ comes in, and now you don't hold anything against them. Right? That's what God wants. God does not want... Remember, He said, if you want Him to forgive you, you have to forgive. People don't dwell on that very much, but that's just as much powerful as anything else that He has ever said in the Scriptures. That's true. Amen. And so, we pray until peace comes over the matter, and then we've got faith that something drops in our heart on how to move forward. You know, Brother Ram says many times, I think, but we need fellowship. We do. We need fellowship with each other.
Right.
We need to be careful who we do fellowship with. You can, and of course, Christians can't fellowship with worldly stuff. If you've got a different appetite. And so I guess that kind of goes without saying, but you've got to be careful who you fellowship with. And so, but we need one another's fellowship. And as I illustrated the other day about a weak radio signal and a device is tuned the same thing as radio, or the two of them together, and the radio will work better because... And that's the way it is. If you are tuned into the Word of God and somebody else is tuned into the Word of God and you get together and you fellowship, you will help each other hear the Word even better.
Right.
That's right. See? But if you get around negative and all that other stuff, it hurts. It hinders. Right?
Right.
And so, if there's a benefit to us from fellowship, then you know Satan's going to fight it. Absolutely. And none of us are immune to him trying to come at us and hinder our fellowship with one another. He can come to all of us that way.
Yeah.
You know, it takes, I'm trying not to hold on, I'm at the 50% mark now. It takes a minimum of 2 people to multiply. Mm-hmm. Right? And you know God is a God of multiplication. God is a God of He's eternal. But it takes at least 2 people to multiply, or 2 animals. It takes a male and a female at least,
right,
to multiply. And God made it that way. You realize that when God made Adam, Adam was both male and female in one body. And I could say, well, that would be unity. Right? Male and female in one body, made by God that way, that's unity. That's perfect. Don't mess with that. But that's not what God wanted. God took that female attribute out and made them like 2 separate. They were 2 separate people. And then brought them back together in unity. That was God's idea, because God wants fellowship. And apparently God could not fellowship with the female attribute in himself, But to bring them out and then bring them back to himself that way, then there could be fellowship. And so the most basic, one of the most basic forms of this kind of thing we're talking about is male and female. And as I said, Adam was both male and female. But God brought a separation because God wanted to show that he was alone and he wanted fellowship. So he made Adam that way. And so he made Adam to be lonely. And so that's why God says it's good and it's good and all these things are good and animals are good and it's all good. And then he said, this is not good. Not good that man should be alone. Right? So Eve was inside him, but he was still lonely. So you understand that in order to have that true fellowship, she had to be taken out and then brought back. Right. And that's a type of us coming out from God and coming back to him in fellowship. That's why that's that way. And so God prefers oneness in the form of two coming back together in unity. Mm-hmm. Now they can't come to bed. They can't come together in unity if they weren't one to begin with. Right. That's a foundational thing there too. That we came from God and we're going back to God. Jesus came from God and said, "I'm going back." So, true, the fellowship God wants would bring a family out and bring them back to him, where it's God who's acting out the whole thing. God wanted to be a family. He didn't want a family. He wanted to be a family. And so God prefers oneness in the form of two coming together in unity. And so God would come down in the Garden of Eden. He would come down in the cool of the day. That's what the scripture said. He'd come down in the cool of the day to do what? The fellowship with his son and his daughter, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. Her name was actually Adam. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. You know, these are the generation, you know, when God made it. Male and female created him, he, them, and called their name Adam.
Right.
Right? But after the fall, Adam gave her another name. Right? So she had the same name as him. So if the Lord is going to come at the end and he's going to take us back to Eden, he's going to reverse the fall, then at some point she takes his name.
Right.
Right? Because she's really part of him to begin with. Amen. So he came down to fellowship in the cool of the day, and of course we always think of that at evening time. And that matches the scriptures. Here at evening time we would fellowship. God would come down to every evening meal and so forth, fellowship. And so when we come together as Christians, as brothers and sisters, to fellowship, I want to ask you a question. When we come together in fellowship, what in you is fellowshipping with one of the other brothers or sisters? And I will tell you that it's an attribute of God in you that's fellowshipping with the attribute of God in somebody else.
Right.
So when you look at it from that standpoint, you realize God is fellowship. God is the fellowship he desired to have. He gets it when you come to fellowship with you, or you come to fellowship with you. That's attributes of God, that's fellowshipping and drawing off of one another. So that is the kind of fellowship God wanted. Now, what I want you to see there is it's not just you fellowshipping with God, but the way you fellowship with God in great measure is when you fellowship with your brothers and sisters.
Right.
And that's why Satan wants to hinder that. That's why he wants to hinder us coming together in fellowship and in unity and peace and around the Word of God, because that is one of the main ways that you fellowship and you serve God is when you fellowship and serve his people, serve one another. And so we know that. We read a quote comes out of the Identified Masterpiece of God, and this is what I was get rid of some of this stuff here. I guess I don't have it with me here. But I'll tell you what he said. Um, that when we come together to fellowship, you're fellowshipping with God.
Right.
And when you come together in fellowship and you get closer together, this is what he said. When you get closer together to each other, you are getting closer to God. That's what he said. That's exactly what the quote I have it somewhere, but I don't. And he said, you know, I have a son, Billy Paul. I have Joseph. I have a couple of daughters here somewhere. My wife, he said, if you want to do something good for me, he said, I'd rather you do it for my children, my family. And he said, that's kind of the way it is with God. Because that's the way we fellowship with God, is when we fellowship with each other. That is fulfilling that desire that God had, the attribute of him and you fellowshipping with someone else. That is fulfilling that. It's not to say we won't have even greater fellowship when we get together, but you understand it's God in all of us doing the whole thing. And so when we get closer to God, closer to one another, we get closer to God.
Right.
Here we go. Finally got it. When you do something different than you normally do, that's usually when you get. So I usually just have screenshots of these, but I actually had the app open. Brother Barron says, I think it's when we can get together with this type of fellowship, it does something to us that draws us closer to each other. And as we get closer to each other, we get closer to God. For Jesus said, insomuch as you have done it unto the least of these my little ones, you have done it unto me. I've got a little boy here somewhere, I suppose Joseph, and I got Billy sitting there, and two daughters sitting back there, and a wife. And now if anybody had something that was, you wanted to do something real nice, I would rather that you would do that to my children than to do it to me. And so I feel maybe as a parent, and he is the source of parenthood, I think that's the way God feels. If we serve him as we serve each other, and that's how we serve God. Think about it. That's how you serve God. Man. So if when you come together in fellowship, you're getting closer to God, then what happens when something comes along and breaks fellowship? Well, you can guess. See, remember when you take communion, the scriptures where it said, not discerning the Lord's body? You know? Amen. So, you know, when we live in the realms of God, when we live in his word and we meditate on him, then his thoughts become ours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you wonder, well, how do I know when to say the right thing or do the right thing? Just stay in his presence and you'll start acting like him, right? In Psalms 133 that we read there, I'm going to read a quote there where Brother tells about in the power transformation. Brother Ram says, God likes to be worshipped. And when you worship him, it just isn't exactly singing a song as we do, but singing it in the spirit of worship, you see? And then you feel the Holy Spirit bounce back. You understand what he's saying there. When you sing in the Spirit, you'll feel the Holy Spirit come back and bounce back. And he said, and I see great big men here. Just think of the day, that group of young fellows sitting there, young boys and their little wives sitting here, and big rough men sitting there and cry like little babies. Well, I look at today, they're out here in the streets living in adultery and filth of the world and things. And to think that we can come apart and gather like this, whereas the psalmist said, behold, how sweet and pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity, is like the anointing oil that was on Aaron's beard that ran down into the hems of his garment. That's what we read a while ago. Which that anointing oil, he said, you know what that anointing oil done? You know what it did? He said it preserved him to go into the presence of God. See, he had to be anointed with the oil before he went into the presence of God. And when brethren can come together in unity, it's like unto that oil. When we enter into the presence of the Lord and the anointing of brethren together in unity, oil represents Holy Spirit. Amen. So, it said there, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that fell on Zion, for there is where the Lord commanded his blessing. And it said this, brethren dwelling together. And so that's why when you come together in unity, the Holy Spirit can move. You come together in contention, he can. Mm-hmm. Right? We are, vine dressers. We have vineyards. We're responsible to take care of our vineyards. So we are responsible for when we see things coming in our life that hinders the word of God, we are to address that. We are to seek God to pray until we overcome those things. Right. And so it's very important that brethren dwell together in unity, because it preserves us to be able to come into the presence of God. That's why I said people, all this world full of drama and all this stuff that we have today, God can't move in all that stuff, right? I mean, he can do whatever he wants, but he won't. That's contrary to his nature. And so we know that. And so as I mentioned the other day, here we are, you know, that after the church ages, it was time to come behind the veil, and that would be like the high priest coming behind the veil. And Aaron could not come behind the veil unless he had that anointing oil. He had that right walk and that anointing. He could not do that. And here we are. We find out that it takes brethren dwelling together in unity to have that. So if we want to become the message of the day, like I said, we are the message. If we want to become that people who is so behind the veil of God, in the presence of God, it can only come as we love one another. And he said, this is how that the world's going to know that you're my disciples, when you have love one for another. Right? Mm-hmm. That's got to be a love that is absolutely beyond anything you can see anywhere else. Mm-hmm. I mean, because you look at the heathens, they love one another. They take care of one another, right? But this is, as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, hey, they do that. See, heathens do that. But he's called us to be something greater, because we don't have the power in ourselves, but we have the anointing of him in us to cause us to live above and beyond this world, because it's him doing it.
Right.
Amen? Amen. Amen. And so if it is that hour, then as I said the other day, it's Feast of Trumpets or Atonements and Tabernacles. It takes the atonement for the high priest to go in there. He has to go in there. He has to have that. And that brings to pass the next feast, which is Tabernacles, where you change dwelling place. So we want a body change. Feast of Tabernacles, changing of dwelling places, right? But before you can have that, you have to have the Feast of Atonement. Before you have atonement, you have to have trumpets. So a message had to sound to gather people to a message, and then the effect of that message, bringing a people into the Shekinah glory, the presence of God, and him, right? Miss Jesus Christ. Flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. He's our high priest. We become the high priest expression today, right? And then it requires that if we want to have a body change. It's all in that sequence. So we want to ask ourselves, then, how are we anointed? How are we anointed, and how are we preserved? And it is where we are in fellowship with each other, because and we love one another, it shows that we are in fellowship with God. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So if we want God's favor, then that's where we want to be. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And like I know you as Christians, you know that you can't, if you're upset and you're all twisted up and mad at somebody, it's hard to get into the Spirit until you pray and to get that off of you. You know, then you know, and then you have a different attitude about it.
Right.
That's the walk, that's the life of a Christian. And it's to walk and live that way. And so we're here, and we rub shoulders, and we got all these things. And, you know, I told my wife, you know, I have situations at work and stuff, and I said, I'm tired of dealing with people. It's not that I want to deal. I want to live for people. But I'm tired of dealing with people who don't do what they're supposed to do. Think about that. But didn't he live for us when we weren't doing what we were supposed to do?
Right.
So it's a, like I said, Sunday, I think it's a tall order, but I believe his word says that's exactly what he will do in his people today when they surrender to him.
Right.
Amen. Let's just pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this little time together. And I just ask, Lord, for a special blessing upon each one that come out tonight. And Lord, I know Sister Vicki is probably concerned about her husband and her son. I just pray, God, that you just touch that home and just bring miraculous things around there of healing. And so, Lord, we just pray that you give her strength to help and be what she needs to be there for them. And so, Lord, we just pronounce that blessing upon them, and we ask, God, that you go with each one tonight. They'd remember these things that, Lord, we just want to have you in the fullness within us. And so we love you, Lord, and commit this time into your hands. Asking in Jesus' name. Amen.